judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day, when every thought and word and action, God the righteous judge, shall weigh? How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away?
Welcome to the Escape for Thy Life radio broadcast. This is a presentation of the independent Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist Church, a revival of original Adventism and ancient Christianity. Our speaker is Brother Nyron Medina.
Good day. This is Brother Medina for Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist. And please let us start with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Father, please be with us as we enter into this presentation. Bless what we are saying. Help everyone to benefit, that your name may be exalted, and that people may receive sin freeness for obedience to your commandments at all times. In Jesus' holy name we pray with thanksgiving unto thee. Amen. Well, today we want to talk about the image of God. Yes, my dear people, the image of God. Because, you see, people have constantly told us that we were made in the image of God, and this is what your Bible truly says. But many people do not understand what it means to be made in the image of God. We need to clarify this, and we need to present this from the Bible, that you may see what it means to be in the image of God. Yes, my dear people. Now, our first major scripture is Genesis chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 26 and verse 27. I quote, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." End of quote. First of all, because we would look at verse 27 in a moment. But if you observe, we are told here, God is saying, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, after our likeness means how God would like to make us. But when it says, in our image, it means to say, the image of God must be found in man. Not on man, not on top his head, not on his foot, not in his shape and form. The shape of God is not the shape of man. In other words, the divine nature is not made up of two hands, two feet, and two eyes and nose and a head onto a neck and all these sort of things. The divine nature is not made up this way. So, when we are told we were made in the image of God, it is not speaking about the shape and form of our bodies. But we do know how our bodies look. It is the way God had liked to make us. Yes, my dear people. Now, if you read verse 27, it tells us, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God created male and female. But in that male and female, he created man in the image of God. And this is what we want to look at, the image of God. And what does the word image mean? Well, first of all, the Greek word that is translated image is icon, icon, E-I-K-O-N. And according to the word study, New Testament Dictionary, by Spyros Zohaliotis, here is what the word means. I quote, it means to be like, to resemble, a representation, an image as of a man made of gold, silver, or other material. Icon, image, always assumes a prototype, that which it not merely resembles, but from which it is drawn. Thus the reflection of the sun on the water is icon or image, and that is page 512 of that dictionary. Now here is the point that we are looking at here. The point we are looking at here is an image of something. So, for instance, if you have a reflection of the sun on water, and you see the sun on water, you will say that's an image of the sun, because it is a reflection of the sun. But that sun mustn't just come by itself there on its own. It must be drawn from the sun itself. It has a prototype, and the prototype is the sun. So in other words, what we're looking at here is an image reflects something that is before it. Now this is how we generally use the term image or icon in the Greek. Yes, my dear people, but we want to look and see if we can identify just what in man was the image of God. Just what was that reflection that was seen? Now, first of all, any reflection that God has that is in man will never be something that is different to him. If the love of God is supposed to be reflected in man, it must be God's love himself. It cannot be a copy of God's love, which would make it not God's love. So the point about it is that in biblical usage, image of God must be identifying God himself. So when we are told that man was made in the image of God, we must remember this important thing, that it would mean that when we were created with God himself dwelling in us, so that in us was God himself dwelling in our hearts. Not a copy of God, because he cannot have a copy of God. A copy of God is not God, and a copy of God is not a reflection of God, because God is not a copy himself. So in other words, what was in man was God himself. So when we are told that man was made in the image of God, it literally means that God himself was dwelling in man. Yes, my dear people. It would simply mean that man was created sin-free, because if he was created with God dwelling in him, he was created without sin. So man had no sin at the beginning. So it would mean that when man sinned, he must have lost the image of God. Because God cannot dwell in people who are in the conscious practice of sin. And every sin has a consciousness behind it. Yes, my dear people. So that when God dwells in man, he must dwell in man without sin. Yes, my dear people. And so, when man sinned, he lost that consciousness of God. So he no longer had God himself dwelling in him. Now if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at scriptures that speak about Jesus Christ being the image of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read verse 4, it tells us, I quote, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. End of quote. Did you see that? We are being told here that Jesus Christ is the image of God. So when we are told that Jesus Christ is the image of God, we are not being told he's a copy of God. For Jesus Christ to be the image of God, it means to say that God must dwell in him. And that is important here. Now listen very carefully. We are being told again that Jesus Christ is the image of God. Notice what we are told here. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So we are being told that Jesus Christ is the image of God. So if Jesus Christ is the image of God, we are not being told that his hands, his feet, the shape of his body is the image of God. We are being told that the image of God is in him. We are not being told a copy of God is being in him, because a copy of God is not God. But God himself has to be in Christ. So for Christ to be in the image of God, it means God himself has to be in Christ. Yes, my dear people. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, this verse confirms what we are saying. I quote, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." We'll stop there. Notice Christ is the image of God, but we are being told that God was in Christ. Yes, my dear people. What does this mean? It means that if Christ was the image of God, then it would mean that God himself was in Christ. Yes, my dear people. So the image of God literally means God himself in that creature. And since Christ was the image of God, it means that in the body of Christ dwelt God himself. Not a copy of God, but God himself. Yes, my dear people. That's why we are told God was in Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, we are told this important truth. But let's read verse 14 for the context. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So this clearly tells us that this scripture is speaking about Jesus himself, right? Redemption through his blood, the blood of Christ. It continues again, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation." End of quote. Did you see that? We have been told that Jesus Christ is the image of God, the image of the invisible God. So that clearly shows us not the shape of his body, not the looks of his body, which you can see, but that God himself is invisible. So you can't see God with the naked eye. You cannot see him with the naked eye. And this God that cannot be seen with the naked eye, we are being told, was in Christ. That Christ is the image of the invisible God. So we have the image of God, or God himself, the invisible God, in Christ. God was in Christ. So the image of God is nothing else but the divine nature. Yes, my dear people. It is the divinity of God himself. God's divinity. What makes him God? The fact that he is divine. And this divinity of God, this divine nature, dwelling in Christ, is the image of God in him. But the facts are, the image of God cannot dwell in a person who is in the committal of sin. If you have the consciousness of sinning, if you are in transgression, in acts of sinning, the divine nature or the image of God cannot be in you. That's why man lost the image of God when he sinned. Yes, my dear people. But the issue in this whole thing here is that man needed to regain the image of God in him. The question is, can that happen? Does it happen? Now we must remember also that when God dwells in man, he dwells in man different to how he dwells in the body form that he has in heaven. He does not dwell in man with the powers of deity. So when God is in our consciousness, the powers of deity is not there. So that I wouldn't know all things, or a Christian wouldn't know all things according to the omniscience of God. Because the powers of deity was not in man when God dwells in man. But let's look at scripture concerning the indwelling of God in man. Yes, my dear people. We turn to Romans chapter 8, and we are looking at verse 29. Here is what it tells us. I quote, "For whom he, God, did foreknow, also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first one among many brethren." Did you see that? Whom God foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, just a brief digression here. Predestination here is not choiceless predestination. In the Bible, predestination is based upon a critical period of choice. If you choose a certain path, you're predestined to reach the end of it. So in the Bible, predestination is always free choice predestination. Yes, my dear people. Now, getting back to the topic, we've been told, he did predestine us to be conformed to the image of his Son. When you repent and you believe, you are predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. What does that mean? It means the image of Christ must first dwell in us. And when the image of Christ dwells in us, which is the image of God, listen very carefully, it means that the image of God must dwell in us, which is Christ himself, his divinity. And when the image of God dwells in us, our whole life that we live is conformed to that image. It means to say that we live that image that is in us. So if you're going to eat something, to have a discourse with someone, to choose a career, to follow certain writings, or to do anything, the image of God in you directs what you are doing, so that your whole life becomes conformed to the image of God, which is God himself dwelling in us. But how do we know that the image of God is God himself dwelling in us? If we look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, we would see this very same thing. I quote, 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 4, it tells us this, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." End of quote. Did you see that? So man must escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, for the divine nature to dwell in him, which means God must not impute the sins of the carnal mind to the man, which means to say that man's carnal mind is not imputed to him. God does not impute iniquity to the man. But then God dwells in the man because he imputes righteousness, the righteousness of God, to the man. And if righteousness, the righteousness of God, is imputed to the man, it means to say the righteousness of God, which is God himself, dwells in the man. So the man becomes partaker of the divine nature. A partaker of the divine nature means you share in the divine nature. So the divine nature dwells in man. So that in the mind of that man dwells the divine nature. God himself dwells in man. And this divine nature dwelling in man is none other than the image of God in man. Yes, my dear people. And God predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. So once the divine nature is in you, the life that you live daily is brought into conformity with the divine nature or the image of God which is in you. And this is actually being predestinated. Yes, my dear people. So that you will reach the destiny where God wants you to reach. And so we see clearly here that the image of God must dwell in man. Man must regain the image of God. Yes, my dear people. Again, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, here is what we are told. I quote, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 18, this is what we are told. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord or of Yahweh, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of Yahweh. End of quote. Did you see that? So it takes the Spirit of God to change us. And that changing us literally changes us to have the same divine nature dwelling in us, the same divine nature of God dwelling in us, so that we are conformed to the image of God. But the scripture clearly presents it to us that we are supposed to be changed into the same image, the image of the glory of Yahweh. And that image of the glory of Yahweh is the divine nature, because the glory of Yahweh is His divinity. The glory of Yahweh is His godness. The glory of Yahweh is the fact that He is God. And for us to be changed into the image of God, it doesn't mean our bodies become God, because God is invisible. But it simply means in our mind, God comes to dwell, so that God dwells in our mind. And this is the image of God being in us. Yes, my dear people. And so, once we have the image of the glory of Yahweh in us, we literally have the divine nature, God Himself, in us. And once we have God Himself in us, this motivates us to do the works of God, to do the will of God. And this is why we are told it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. This clearly shows the divine consciousness has control over the human consciousness, directing and guiding the human consciousness. Yes, my dear people. And this is the reason why when you accept Christ, you accept the divine consciousness to rule over your human consciousness, so that in you have two consciousness, your human consciousness and the divine consciousness. And once you have the divine consciousness in you, that divine consciousness does not interfere with the autonomy of your human consciousness. It does not take over being the consciousness of your body. But the divine consciousness influences your human consciousness by placing flashes of light of truth in your human consciousness from the Spirit of Truth. Yes, my dear people. So when one is walking as a Christian, as he studies the scriptures, he gets flashes of truth upon his mind. And those flashes of truth opens his mind to wonderful truths that he would not know as a human being. This is the divine consciousness intruding upon the human consciousness, but at the choice of man. Because when you make the choice to follow God, you make the choice to submit to the divine consciousness. And once you make that choice to submit to the divine consciousness, you must expect the divine consciousness to take control of your human consciousness. But God does it in a right way. He does not become the streaming consciousness of your body, but takes control of your human consciousness by injecting into it portions of truth, portions of light from the Holy Spirit. And you must choose that light consciously, because you are conscious of the divine consciousness. So you must choose that light. And when you choose to follow that light, you are choosing the divine consciousness input into your human consciousness. So that wherever you go, wherever you walk, God is now in control. God is now your literal king guiding your mind. And the facts are, that is what we were created for. That is how we were created. God created man to operate that way. And only when he operates that way, he operates according to the way he was originally meant to operate. So the question is, what are you giving up? You are giving up your human consciousness having full control over your body and over your life. And you are asking God to take control of your human consciousness, that your human consciousness directing your body may be God working in that human consciousness. It may have God working in that human consciousness directing your body. That's what you're asking for. Again, if we look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, we get the same idea again. I quote, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." End of quote. So here you have a connection here. We put on a new man, and we are told the new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, what is this new man? This new man that dwells in us is our born-again selves. But our born-again spiritual self is created by the knowledge of the truths of Christ, the plan of salvation. Yes, my dear people. And this knowledge of Christ, the truths of the plan of salvation, causes the image of God to be in us, so that we have the divine nature in us, and the divine nature is sustained in us by the knowledge of the truths of the plan of salvation. And when the divine nature is sustained in us by the knowledge of the truths of the plan of salvation, it means that the divine nature now controls us and determine how we live. Yes, my dear people. So that your new man, your born again self, is none other than the divine nature, God himself, God's personal consciousness, controlling your human consciousness by injecting portions of truth, portions of light, which is the knowledge of God from the Holy Spirit, into your human consciousness, which when you accept, you decide to live and follow. And truly it will be God working in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Yes, my dear people. So what do we need? We need to have the image of God in us again. We need to have the divine nature dwelling in us. We need the image of God dwelling in us. And to have the image of God, you must have God himself, because the image of God is none other than God himself dwelling in that temple of flesh. Now our time has passed. May God dwell in you. May the image of God dwell in you. May God himself dwell in you and take control of your human consciousness the right way. In Jesus' holy name we pray with thanksgiving unto our Father in heaven. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for another Escape for the Life Radio broadcast. Remember that you can call us at 528-2123. That's 528-2123 or 531-7558. We do look forward for you joining us again next week when we'll present to you another edition of Escape for Thy Life. Until next time, may God bless you.
How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before